All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12 in your Bible this evening. Let me help you out.
I'm there. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12.
Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 12 in our Bibles. All right, we're going to read verse number 27. Then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We'll give you a little bit of background information. And then we're going to pick up in verse number 28, which is our text for tonight. But we're going to read verse number 27 here. Actually, let's back up to verse number 25. We'll read 25 through 27. And then we will jump into our text in 28 after we go to the Lord in prayer. So it says here, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you so much, Lord, for just giving us the privilege to come together tonight. Lord, I thank you for these people who have come wanting to hear from you, Lord. They didn't just come to hear from me. They came to hear from you. That's what I'm here for, Lord. I know that you've given me this message today, and Lord, you've dealt with my heart on this matter. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd get me out of the way and you'd speak to us tonight. We pray your blessing now upon us as we seek to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a little bit of background on this passage here. We have Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Something to give you just some of the background. Remember Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. One thing that he did wrong that kind of took away from his wisdom or took away from the fact that he's the wisest man that ever lived was he had a lot of women in his life. There's nothing wrong with being married and having a wife. It's certainly honorable. In fact, the Bible says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, and he says so on, but whoremongers and adulterers God shall judge. But he also says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. In fact, God said that through Solomon, and it says that he obtaineth favor from the Lord. Also said that a prudent wife is of the Lord. So it's not a bad thing to have a wife, but it's a bad thing if you have 700 of them and 300 concubines. It's a bad thing if you have 1,000 women in your life. That's not a good thing. That was one thing that Solomon did that wasn't very wise. Now, there were some wise reasons for some of the marriages that had to do with political things and so forth, but that wasn't very wise. In fact, one thing about the women that Solomon had in his life, they were idolaters, and they worshipped false gods. And they caused Solomon's heart to be pulled away from the Lord. And the Bible says that God basically said he's going to take the kingdom from Solomon. And he says, but I'm not going to do it while you're alive. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to take it from your son. And he basically said, you know, he's going to take the most of the kingdom. But for David's sake, he waited until after Solomon had passed off the scene. And also waited, and also decided not to take the whole kingdom, but rather most of the kingdom, 10 of the 12 tribes. And so, if you remember, after Solomon passes off the scene, Rehoboam is asked, hey, your father was pretty rough on us. He was hard on us. It was he taxed us. He required us to do so many things. Could you just, like, be easy on us? Ease up a little bit. You know, take it easy. And he goes to this is a whole other message, but he goes to he asks the wise men, the ancients, he says, What should I tell him? What should I say? He said, you know, hey, come back in 3 days. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And he talks to the angels. He says, what the old man, he says, what should I do? This is his father's counselors. And they said, take it easy on him. Okay. And the kingdom was ripe for civil war. Kingdom was ripe for secession. And Rehoboam says, I'll think about that. Okay. Then he goes to the young men. He says, what should I do? They said, you should make it harder on them. You need to show them who's boss. And you know what? Rehoboam says, that's a good idea. I think I'll do that. I'm going to show them who's boss. I'm going to tell them, hey, I'm going to add to your yoke. My father's yoke was heavy, and I will add to your yoke. He says, my father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Now, how do you think that went over with the people? Not very good. Not very good at all. And Jeroboam was in exile. He was the enemy of Solomon. And he was in exile, but he happened to come back at the perfect time after Solomon passed away. Rehoboam is here, and he's among the crowd here. And he says this, and they said, nay. Basically, they said, you know what? No. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. So the kingdom split. And 10 of the tribes went with Jeroboam. Jeroboam takes these tribes and he goes off. And so we have the southern kingdom, which was Judah. They called it Judah. And then we have the northern kingdom. Okay. Which was, they later was called Ephraim, but it was Israel and Judah, okay? The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. Well, Jeroboam says, as we read there before prayer, he says, if I let these people go back to Jerusalem for their worship, for their sacrifices, if I let them go back to Jerusalem to worship God, then they're gonna forsake me. They're going to remember the God of their fathers. They're going to remember all the things down there. They're going to remember all that they had, all that they were, the glorious nation that they were. And I'm going to lose them, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to follow Rehoboam. So he says, I've got a plan. I'm going to do something different. Okay? I'm giving a whole lot of background here. This isn't my message. This is just a lead up. Okay? So he sets up a place in Bethel and a place in Dan. These are called high places. He sets them up for Israel to worship. Okay? And I'm giving you that because we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in the passage here after we deal with verse 28. But he sets it up, and in fashion just like Satan, proposes to them a truth that's manipulated so that they'll disobey God. He says, after he took counsel, he made two calves of gold and said unto them, unto the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He says, these golden calves, does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Remember they worshiped golden calves at Mount Sinai, the foot of Mount Sinai, and they said the same thing, these be thy gods. You'd think that they'd have, you know, they would be like, yeah, I remember when Aaron did that. That was not cool. And like a bunch of us died. We probably shouldn't do that. No, they didn't remember. They followed him. But the message tonight, the title of the message tonight is, It is too much. It is too much. I want to talk about some things that the devil comes to us and says. But it begins, each and every one, with, it is too much. It is too much. You could probably think about it right now, you could probably just go to the altar and say, you know what? I know exactly what it is. You know what? He'll use your own thoughts oftentimes and say, hey, it's too much for you to do this. It's too much for you to go down to Jerusalem, or up to Jerusalem, up the mount, right? He says to them, it's too much. It's too much. I want to say, first of all, before we start talking about what it is, the truth is, it is too much. It is too much. So what do? We throw our pencil down? It is too much. Well, first of all, let's consider the things. Some of the things. I'm going to try to name some things here tonight. And if you think of something, hey, by all means, throw it in. It is too much for you. It's too hard. It's too difficult for you to spend daily time with the Lord in prayer. It is too difficult. It is too much for you to seek God for revival and keep seeking Him until you pray it through. It's too much. It is too much. It is more than you can handle. It is more than you can handle. Too much for you to read your Bible every day, to study God's Word, seeking a message from Him. It's too much. It's too much for you to forego eating a meal so that you can seek God for something that's important. It's too much for you to walk by faith and not by sight. It's too much for us to look at our lives, the lives ahead of us, and consider all the things that we have to do. And it's too much for us to consider the responsibilities that we have and then just trust God. It's too much to just trust God. It's too much to be faithful to God's things. It's too much to give up a certain sin. It's too much to separate from the world. Back to that certain sin. It's too much. I've heard this. I've heard this. It is just too hard to quit. Fill in the blank. Right, you could say sinning, but we could get more specific. Drinking. Cigarette. Smoking.
Partying.
It is just too hard.
It's easier to just smoke than to quit.
It's too much. It's easier to just continue the way that I've always done this. It is too much for me to lay myself aside to do what God wants me to do. It is too much for me to say no to my desires to obey God. Now that fits in a whole lot of places. A whole lot of places. It's too much for me to say. It's too much for me to humble myself and be even humiliated for the cause of Christ. It's too much. It's too hard. I can't handle that. Can't handle standing in front of a crowd of people and being rejected. It's too much. I was reading a book, and I think I mentioned this yesterday, but how so many people say they want revival, but they don't want what it brings. They really don't want what it brings. They don't know what it means. Heard of a preacher that his mom had been praying and praying and praying for him to get saved. I mean, he was a wicked, vile wretch, and she prayed and prayed and prayed for him to get saved. He got saved. God called him to preach. And he became a Baptist preacher. And she said, I prayed for you to get saved, but I didn't know what it was going to mean. I didn't know it was going to mean that you're going to be so fanatical. You think about that? I've heard that. I'll tell you what, I've heard that. I don't know how many times from my family. So, oh, I'm so glad that God's done something in your life, but man, do you have to be so fanatical? It's too much for me to not go with the flow.
It's too much. It's too much for me to say. You know what? I'll put it this way. It's easier for me to just go with the flow. It's easier for me to just, you know, hey, what? The rest of my family's doing this. The rest of the world's doing this. The rest of you know, everybody else at work is doing this. Everybody at school is doing this. Everybody, you know, out and about is doing this. So you name the place and the group of people. They're all. This is the temperature. It's too much for me to be a hot burning coal in the midst of a bunch of lukewarm coals. It is too much for me to swim the other way when all the fish are coming this way. It is too much. It's so much easier just to do what everybody else is doing. It's so much easier to just go to work and do my job and come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to sleep, get up in the morning, go do it all over again. It is so much easier. I could just get in a loop and just go, just get in the neutral or put on cruise control and cruise off. So much easier. But when God begins to work, when God begins to operate revival in our lives, when God begins to do something, He upsets the whole thing, doesn't He? Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that. Let me tell you a secret. God doesn't want us to do what we're capable of doing. God doesn't want us to do great things for Him. God wants us to do impossible things. Things that we cannot do. Things that are too much for us. God wants us to see the thing that's too much. And then He wants to accomplish that. Jeremiah, a prophet to God's people, said in chapter 20, I'm sorry, 32. If you want to flip over there to Jeremiah 32. Take a look here what he said when he was faced with something that seemed to be impossible. I was going to sing a different song, but I was looking through to find that one, and that one popped out. And the Lord just said, here, do this one. I was like, okay. So, man, I want to read a whole lot more of this, but I'm not going to. We're just going to read verse 17. You can read the context later. Verse number 17, did I tell you what chapter? Chapter 32, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 17. He says, Oh, Lord God, Thou hast made heaven and the earth and Thy great power and outstretched arm. By Thy great power and outstretched arm. And there is nothing too hard for Thee. Nothing too hard for God. See, Jeremiah, in response to something that seemed to be impossible, he said, there's nothing too hard for God. When God was speaking to Abraham about the son that was going to be born, Abraham and Sarah didn't believe Him. He said, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? Well, he knew the answer to that question. How could there be? But why is it that our faith is so limited that we think there is? As a matter of fact, if I look around the world today and I look around at those who say that they believe in God, if their position on things is correct, there's a lot of stuff that's too hard for God. A whole lot of stuff. I mean, when you look around and they say, and they see, and you see, you know, people who are in bondage to whatever. There's so many things. According to their faith, God can't deliver them from that. God can't help them. So many people are in bondage. There's bondage to sin. We could talk about it being in bondage to various addictions. We already talked about alcohol and cigarettes, and we We could talk about drugs. We could talk about gambling. We could talk about pornography. We could talk about, I mean, a lot of stuff. But we could also talk about, hope he's going to be all right. We could also talk about debt. We could talk about financial bondage. We could talk about, oh man, there's so many things. We could talk about paying our bills. Not even debt. We just say, you know, there's no debt. But our faith sometimes is not strong enough to believe that God's going to take care of it, even when we make decisions that may go against. I'm not saying anybody needs to go out and quit their job because it's going against what God's trying to do in their life. But you know what? If God's leading that way, if that's what God's dealing with your heart on, then that's what you need to do. That's between you and God. But God takes care of us. And sometimes we have to say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I know what you want me to do. You see, for the last 17 years, every job I've taken, I've told them, I do not work on Sundays or Wednesday nights. I'm not saying that every single person needs to have the same standard that I have, but I said, I will not work during church services. I said, and it's not just Sundays and Wednesday nights. It's when there are church services going on. So you know what? You want me to work Sunday midday? As long as it doesn't keep me from the ministry, that's fine. So you want me to work, you know, Wednesday during the day, Wednesday after church, that's fine, whatever. So if we have a revival, I don't care if you pay me or not, I'm not working that week. I'm off. The way it's going to work. Now, there was a short time for maybe a year or so that I compromised that. But sometimes it's easier to say, it's too much. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't make that kind of sacrifice. Do you understand what that's going to mean if I do this or if I do that? Yeah, I know what it means. But you know what? More important than me knowing what it means, God knows what it means. Is there anything too hard for God? In chapter 37 later on, God answers Jeremiah's prayer. And he says in verse number 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer, of course, is no. There's nothing too hard for God. You could read the rest of Jeremiah's prayer there. You could look at all that. It'd be a blessing for you to do so, but I'll leave that to you for another time. But it is too much for you. But is it too much for him?
No.
No. No. God expects, let me say it right. God expects us to live in the too much for us life. God expects us to be not where we're comfortable, not where it's easy for us. But God expects us to live in the realm of it's too much. Why is it, you think, Paul said to Timothy, endure easiness? It's not what he said, is it? He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because we're not to live at ease. We live now. I'm not saying that you go and make your life difficult on purpose. But if God says do it, you do it no matter what it means. No matter what it means. Live where God wants you to be. You see, the Israelites had a command to go down to Jerusalem, or up the hill to Jerusalem. They had a command to go to the temple to worship, to the temple to bring their sacrifices, to take their tithes, to take their offerings, to feast for the Feast of Tabernacles, to feast for for the Feast of Trumpets, to feast for the Feast of Passover. They were supposed to go. Now, of course, Passover had household stuff and all that, but the place that they were told to go and worship, they were commanded by God to go, was too much for them. But it's where they were supposed to be. It's what God wanted them to do. It was too much, but it was God's command. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, what did Jesus say? Does anybody know what Matthew 28, 18 says? I give you a hint. The first word is all. All power. See, my wife knows. Amen. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Is there any authority, any power that Jesus doesn't have? Well, remember, we had the other passage, Jeremiah understood. Nothing's too hard for God. God told him. Well, God asked the rhetorical question, is there anything too hard for me? But he recognized that there was nothing too hard for God. But we recognize also that all authority, all power, all dynamic strength, power, might, it all belongs to Jesus. And what does he say right after that? He says, he gives a command and he uses the word therefore. He uses the word therefore because the command is based upon the authority. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, and he tells us to preach the gospel, baptize the saved, and then disciple them. Right? I'm summarizing. But the command he gives us for the Great Commission is based upon the fact that he has the authority to tell us to go. Not only does he have the authority, but he has the ability to work through us when we go. He has the ability to make us able to accomplish the task he sent us for. How do we know that? Because at the very end of that, he says what? Lo, I am with you. I'm with you. Not just sometimes, always. I am with you always. You know, for the whole time, all the way until the end, right? So we have confidence, as remember Sunday, we don't have confidence in the flesh, but we have confidence in him that is able to do above all that we would ask or think. In Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at Sunday, but verse 13. Anybody know what Philippians 4:13 says? Nobody's got it memorized? Give you a hint. I have a good friend. Yep. Did you just look it up? You looked it up, didn't you? All right. That's cheating. That's okay. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm sorry, not verse 20, verse 13. You guys remember, we looked at it not last week, the week before. He said that it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that's doing that. How in the world can we do what is too much for us? You got it. Because it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, God works in us both to know what he wants and to do what he wants. So what's our excuse? When God says, do this, when God says, don't do that, and we say, it's too hard, I can't do it. We just have to step back and remember that we walk by faith and not by sight. We have to step back and remember that it is God that worketh in us. We have to step back and remember that in Galatians 2:20 it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. Not I, but Christ. It's not about what I can do. Again, God doesn't want us. God doesn't want me to do great things for him. God's not interested in what I can do. God's not interested in what you can do. God is interested in causing you to do what you can't do. God is interested in getting glory out of your life. So that when other people say, how did they do that? And you just go, well, you know, hey, it's too much for me. Had to be him. Had to be him. It's too much for me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. It's even our faith, right? As we've seen, we've looked at it over and over again, that God expects us to walk by faith and not by sight. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews 11. And according to Hebrews 11, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him. So, man, that works. That fits so perfectly, does it? Doesn't it? It fits so perfectly. It's too much for me. In order for me to do what's too much for me, I must have faith that God is working in me and that God can do what I can't do. And it's when it's too much for me, but nothing's too much for him, and he does it. It takes faith. I have to believe that he is who he says he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I have to believe that he is going to do what he can do, and I can't do. And so God has something for you. God has something for you, each of you. Brian, God has something for you. Oscar, God has something for you. Aaron, God has something for you. Amelia, God has something for you. From this message tonight. Him too. And wherever the other one is. All right. Honey, God has something for you. Robert, God has something for you. Rob, God has something for you. Don, he's got something for you. Kurt, he's got something for you. Lucas, God has something for you. He has a plan for your life. Amen? Can you say amen? I said, no, not with this thing in my mouth. Amen? James, God has something for you. From this passage, from this message tonight, by the way, from every message you hear, God has something for you. What? He said, amen, amen. Wouldn't that be exciting? Baby's first word, amen? I think he's said other things already, but amen. God has something for you to do that's too much. Ask yourself the question, what have I said today? There's something that God has spoken to you about today that you think is too much, too hard, too much. And that's the thing you need to come right up here and give to him and say, God, I can't do it, but you can. God, I can't do it, but I know you can. By the way, getting to heaven, it's too much. I can't do it. I don't have a ladder. I don't have a long enough rope. I can't build a building big enough. It would just get confusing. I can't tie a rope around the moon and lasso and swing up there. I can't do it. It's too much for me. I can't do enough good works. I can't go to enough church services. I can't not sin enough. It had to be the work of Jesus Christ. It was only what he could do that could save me. I can't do it. God has something for you too. I can't do it. It's too much for me. You see, the devil uses that to shackle you down.
But God uses, let me say this, the devil tries to steal that truth that it's too much to shackle you down. That truth is God's truth. It belongs to Him. And that truth is there to show you who is able. And that's where He wants you to operate.
Don't let the devil shackle you down. Don't let your own thoughts and your own limitations shackle you down. Yes, we all have limitations. Some more than others. Some less than others. We all have limitations. And some have limitations in some areas that others don't. It may very well be that somebody's good at something and God doesn't want to use them to do it. He wants to use the one that's not good at it to do it because He wants the glory. Isn't that interesting? It's not necessarily the talented that God wants to use. I mean, look at your pastor. I'm not the most talented fella. A lot of things I don't know. A lot of things I'm not good at. If there's anything that's done that's good, hey, it's Him. Not the guy on the roof, it's God. So what is it that's too much for you? Honey, come play the piano so that we can contemplate on what's too much and give it to God.